edition of the Large Morning Show in the afternoon on the Big 550 KTRS. I am Paul Harris. Ian and Dan are here with me. This Sunday, part of the St. Louis Science Center is going to be turned into Electric Avenue. They're having a big electric car show, and one of the people who put that together is here with me now, Josh Lynn, who's an educator at the Science Center and an electric vehicle owner. Hi, Josh. How are you?
Hi. Good to be here.
Welcome to the show. The Gateway Electric Vehicle Association car show will be Sunday at 11 to 3. It's actually in the Planetarium parking lot, right?
Yeah, it's in the Planetarium parking lot. It's in Forest Park. It's totally free.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you can just show up. Check out a lot of vehicles. We've got owners. We've got dealerships. And the great part about it is, you know, if you want to talk to a dealership, you think about, like, maybe buying one.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you're not sure if they're telling you the truth or not. That's okay. You can just walk down the road or walk down the car show and talk to an owner. And we're not going to lie to you.
Are you an electric car owner?
Yeah, I own a Nissan Leaf.
All right. Now, that's all electric, right?
All electric.
Okay. So when you go home from here today,
I'm going to plug it in.
All right. Now, how does that work? I mean, here's the part that I'm curious about, because I assume that you have to have some sort of special electrical setup in your garage or outside of your house if you have one of these cars. Is that right?
So there's two ways that you can charge. There's what's called a level two charger, which is that's what you typically think of as a charging station. And, you know, you can buy those, you can install those in your house and good stuff like that. I don't have one of those. All I have is an extension cord that comes out of my garage, and I can actually plug that into my car.
Wait, a regular extension cord? Like
regular
one of those 25-foot orange deals you get
yep.
at Home Depot, and you plug it into a regular outlet?
Yeah. And then there's a converter, and it goes into your car, and that's what we call trickle charging. So it doesn't charge quite as fast,
mm-hmm.
but it gets the job done overnight.
You go home at night, you plug it in the morning it's fully charged?
Fully charged, yeah.
How long does that take?
Depends on how much I've used it. On average, it takes like 10 to 15 hours for my car to charge.
Mm-hmm.
That's because I don't have one of those charging stations. If I had a charging station, it would take about 6 to 8 hours, depending on, you know, how much electricity you needed.
Okay. If you wanted to leave St. Louis, how far can you drive on a Nissan Leaf?
Nissan Leaf gets about 100 miles.
Okay.
I think they're officially certified for like 80 around there.
You're not going to Memphis, is my point.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
At least I would have to stop and charge on the way there.
That's my next question. Where would you charge?
So there are a lot of public charging stations around the area. Not quite as much as I would like, but there's an app called PlugShare or a website, and you can actually see all the charging stations in the area. And, you know, we've got like super charging stations, which can charge in like 20 minutes.
Now, wait a second. Let me ask you. Who has supercharging stations?
Right now, it's only Nissan dealerships. But I've heard from some of the electric vehicle enthusiast groups
yes.
that will probably be changing soon.
So you can't pull off the road like I can and just go to a gas station or a truck stop or something like that. I can get gasoline. People with diesel vehicles could get diesel. We can refuel and go for as long as we want to the next place and refuel and keep going as long as we need to. You can't do that. You got to find a place, and there are only a few of them here and there. And what if you're going someplace and there's no Nissan dealership along the way?
At this point in my life, I would take a different car. but the technology is getting there. And again, you can see this at the car show. I'm sure you've heard of Teslas.
Yes.
Yeah. So they've got a range of 250 miles-ish.
But they cost $100,000.
Yeah. Give or take. but eventually, I mean, the technology is there to get a huge range like that. And I know a couple of people with Teslas that have actually driven to California. You know, they had to stop and charge on the way, but, I mean, they made it to California.
Is that because Elon Musk and Tesla have put their own charging stations across the country?
Yeah.
Why can't you use those for your Leaf?
I can. It's just that I only have 100 miles, whereas the Tesla has 250 miles.
So they're spread apart further.
Yeah, a little bit further.
Okay. I'm going to give away a $1 million idea right here, because you just mentioned, what was the share thing?
PlugShare app.
PlugShare. please tell me if this is already going on, but why isn't there something where people along the way who have that supercharging thing in their house that you
like
talked about?
Like a community thing.
Where you could just pick up an app. Hey, I'm going to go over here. Oh, it's only about 8 miles away from here. We'll pull off the highway. We'll go to this guy's house. He's home right now, and he'll let me charge at his house.
On the PlugShare app, or the website for that matter, it kind of lists the different types of charging stations. So there are totally public charging stations like we've got at the Science Center. The app would say, oh, you can just pull up anytime, you can charge. There are also private charging stations of people just like that. They have a charging station at their house, they register it. A lot of times they will ask for like donations to,
because electricity is not free, it's cheap, but it's not free.
How long does it take to charge? Like if you pull up and you're going to charge, say it takes like 2 or 3 hours, so you're at somebody's house. Hey, how's it going? You got some food?
That's a very good question, Dan.
Yeah. Most of those charging stations will take a couple of hours at least.
Okay.
Not many of them have the super charging stations I was telling you about. Those are very, very, very expensive. And so it's usually just the level two charging station. So normally you're going to be stopping and charging for bare minimum an hour. But if it's like, hey, I'm like 10 miles away from where I need to get to, can I just, you know, hook up for a little bit so I could get that little extra boost?
Yeah. So it turns into like an electrical vehicle Airbnb.
Yeah.
You know, you find somebody who offers the service and you go to their house and, okay, you use their service.
Peer-to-peer thing, yeah.
Yeah, and you make a donation to them, you know, $5, $10, what is it usually?
It varies. Some of them, you know, don't ask for donations. Some of them are like, you know, this is a charity that I care about, so please donate to this. I'm not going to charge you. So a lot of people do it differently, and it's kind of up to the individual owners of the charging station.
You mentioned Tesla, and I mentioned Elon Musk, the guy who owns it and has done remarkable stuff. Just a week ago, he made a deal with the state of Nevada to build what they're calling a gigafactory, which will be the largest battery factory in the world expressly for electric vehicles. Will they only be for Teslas, or is he going to be making them for Nissan and the Chevy Volt and all the rest of these cars?
Right now, I don't know the details of that. Other than it's one of the first battery factories here in America, which is great. I think he is focusing mostly on the Tesla. There have been, you know, some other like rumors of connections that he's going to make, but I don't really know the details of all of what he's planning for those batteries.
But it's good for all of us if he makes a lot of these things and we get more of these things out there. Now, I don't have an electric car because I don't want to have to call somebody at 8:30 in the morning and say, hey, I need to get to work. Can I charge at your house for a half an hour? But my wife has a hybrid, and I know when that thing is on just the electric battery part of it and not using the gas engine at all, all it has is that weird futuristic electronic hum, and then I realized we're in the future. This is the future that we heard about from those movies in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and 80s with that hum. And recently there was a Formula One race in Europe. I don't know where, but in Europe that was an all electric car race. You know about that?
Formula E racing. I think they hit speeds up to like 100, 150 miles per hour, and it was all electric.
And it had that, all the cars, I think.
I think it was a little bit louder because they had a little bit bigger motors, but
But it wasn't like a NASCAR race.
Exactly,
is my point. There's no vroom. It's more of a hum.
Yes, it is just a hum.
Do you have to have something on your car that tells people you're coming? Because I heard that one of the other problems with electric vehicles, people don't know that you're coming down the street.
Currently, no, that's not required. I know that I, at least on my car, I've got the backup whistle. It starts beeping as soon as I put it in reverse and all that good stuff. But right now, there is no like requirements for a noise that it makes. But yeah, I know that I think in Europe they were toying with like putting songs.
We don't want songs, but I actually heard that they were thinking of having the thing in there that simulates the sound of the internal combustion engine, so your brain goes, car!
Which is apparently harder than you would think. Like, that like deep, roomy sound is actually hard to recreate digitally, apparently, is what I read.
Interesting. Yeah, we don't want people downloading their own car sounds as they're going down the street. So Sunday at the Science Center, the cars will be there. Will you be able to open the hood?
Oh, yeah.
It's all under the hood, right?
Yeah, so it's got a lot of different cars, and you talked about the future. Part of this car show is showing you that the future is here right now. And so here are all of your options. And you know, I've got the Gateway Electric Vehicle Association.
Yep.
A lot of them have, like, really neat conversion cars.
Now, what's that? Somebody customized the car? They took a regular car and electrified it?
Yeah. They ripped the engine out. I know we've got a Ford Ranger, I think it is. He ripped the engine out, put a motor in, put batteries in the back of the truck.
Mm-hmm.
We've got a really neat-looking Bug, like a Volkswagen Bug.
Really?
Again, rip the engine out, put all the batteries and motor in, and that one is really cool because you can see every single part. You can see the motor, you can see the inverter, you can see every single part, and you can see it and go, there's not a lot of pieces there.
Yeah.
And so that's one of the things that Tesla capitalized on, because if you show up to the show, there's going to be lots of Teslas there. You can check them out. We're even offering test rides. You can ride in a Tesla.
Nice.
And, you know, if they open up their hood, they have an extra trunk there. So they have a whole bunch of space because electric cars just don't have as much stuff that goes in them.
Right. Are we selling a lot of these things? I mean, by we, I mean, are these popular to the point where we can say it's more than just a tiny, tiny niche?
I think it's getting to that point where it is more than a niche. It's not totally mainstream yet.
Mm-hmm.
That's part of the reason that we're doing this car show, is to show everybody the options that are out there. In the electric vehicle community, we have this thing called range anxiety, which is kind of what you alluded to.
Your
earlier.
Range
you
get a little envy nervous is what it is.
You get nervous, like, am I gonna make it, blah blah blah,
because when I'm driving in my car and I see the light come on, meaning, you idiot, you're almost out of gas, I can probably within a mile find a gas station.
Yeah,
for you may not be within 10 miles of a place where you can plug in.
Yeah, so that's of course what we call range anxiety. A lot of the mainstream vehicle companies have done slightly alterations to get over that range anxiety. So the Volt, for example, it's all electric, except it's got a gas generator in the back. So if you run out of batteries, you can still pull off to the gas station, fill it up, and, you know, go about your business.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no range anxiety with that. But once we get to a point where battery technology is so good that everybody can afford to have a range of like 250 miles... I'm willing to bet that not a lot of people, unless you travel for your job, but not a lot of people will commute more than 100 miles at that, but certainly not more than 250.
Yeah.
So it's a really good, like, commuter car,
yeah,
to where you can get to work and back, and you get to laugh at people that have to pay a lot of money for gas.
Last question. We talked about how long it takes to charge. How much does it cost?
My car costs about 3 cents a mile. That's how much electricity it takes.
As opposed to a gas car taking?
Around 20 to 30 cents per mile, depending on how much, what kind of gas mileage you get.
Yeah.
So it's becoming really economical to think about an electric car.
All right, so it's this Sunday at the St. Louis Science Center. The Science Center and the Gateway Electric Vehicle Association having their electric car show from 11 to 3. It's going to be in the St. Louis Science Center's Planetarium parking lot, and you're going to have beautiful weather this weekend, so that'll be nice.
Yeah, and it's great for the whole family, too. So we're going to have activities for the kids, so feel free to bring everybody out and talk to the electric vehicle owners, and it's going to be a good time.
Josh, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Josh Lynn, educator at the St. Louis Science Center here on the Big 550 KTRS.